Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing today? I hope doing well. I am getting a little bit more used to this YouTube thing, so hopefully things will start getting a little smoother. I apologize for those that had trouble finding it Sunday at particularly Sunday morning. I tried something new. I did like a pre And supposedly, I'm supposed to be able to just live stream right into that pre thing. And for some reason, it didn't work. So I just got to investigate that further. So let's start with a word of prayer. All in the learning process, like we're doing here. We're learning the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, and Lord, praise you and thank you so much for the opportunities you give us to spread the word. Thank you, Lord, for this platform of YouTube and that you continue to use it in your ultimate design to spread the gospel. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, so we are heading into the latter part of Luke 11, another long chapter. Luke doesn't sound like a long book, but when you realize most of the chapters are really long, it takes like two or three lessons each chapter. So, here we are in part 51. So here we are 10 weeks already. We're only about halfway through Luke. We got Luke, it goes to about Luke 22. So yeah, we're just about halfway right now. So hang in there, but we're learning a lot, right? So I do have a picture for today's new picture, and some of the things on it, you can help me figure out what they're saying. Is the new picture. Some of them will identify right away the washing of the hands, and that man up in the right top right corner there, walking, looks like over a grave. That'll be the last verse we see today, verse 44. But let's get started. We're going to start in verse 33. This particular section is also in Matthew 5:14 through 16, and Mark 4. 21 through 22. And it's also repeated again in Luke 8:16. So we'll see it again, or something very similar. So let's start off here. No man, when he hath lit a candle, putteth it under a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that which come in may see the light. I can't help it. It just came to my mind. I can't help but think about that Sunday school class song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine, Let It Shine, Let It Shine, Let It Shine." I forgot the rest of it, but I know you have to cover it at one point, you blow it out at another point. I think you got the general message. But it was a cute little song, nursery and type you would sing in like, 5 or 6 years old. But this is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. This is Jesus talking about a light. And we are the light of the world as Christians. We want to make our light shine. And so it's symbolic here of we're going to talk about light and how Jesus uses it as symbolic of our testimony and and our reaching the world with the gospel and how we go about it. Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that which may come in may see the light. Verse 34. Then the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. So basically, when your eyes are closed, or your eyes are open, I guess is what they're basically trying to say there. Again, this is more or less like our testimony, and some great verses on this. Speaking of the verses I just mentioned, in Matthew 5:16, Matthew has a little bit more to add to it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, careful when you say good works here. You can't put the horse before the cart. First, you got to be born again Christian before you can do good works. And I say that because a lot of denominations out there like to teach that you can get to heaven by being a good person, and that is not true. That I believe that, and I know it for sure, because it's why I do, why I feel like I love working for the Lord, is because I'm already one of His children, and I just do it out of a love for Him, kind of like when we want to please our boss, but we already have the job, we already have salvation, but that we want to do a good job for our Lord and Savior. And that's what it means here by good works. And through those good works, it will glorify our Father in heaven. Also in Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And so that when you're an evil person, evil likes darkness. You know, that's why people always typically, well, when they want to go steal something, they'll do it at night when it's dark. They're trying to keep something hidden. But somebody who's got light, who shines bright, they're people can see what they're doing. Well, then that brings on responsibility too, that we have to be able to make sure that what they're seeing is good. Yeah. Okay, verse 35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not in darkness. Amen. And I got some verses here to help with us understand this. So in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are always of death. So that if you think it's right, and you're not consulting it with God, then typically that leads us in the wrong direction. And so it's important to bring all things to God to figure them out. Proverbs 26:12 also. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Isaiah 5:20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So in other words, they think they got it all together. That I love that verse. It just came to mind. I don't think I got it today. Well, maybe I got a Revelation verse, but over in Revelation it talks about being wretched and poor. Let's see what Paul has to say over in Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Yes, this is the one I was thinking of. In Revelation 3:17, Jesus here talking to the church. In this church, it's the church I believe is in play right now, and that's the church of Laodicea. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's talking about, that was Jesus talking about the church of Laodicea. And if you, when you study those seven churches in Revelation, you realize they stand for the seven general churches through the ages, starting with Jesus' time all the way to now. And most prophecy people believe we're in the church of Laodicea right now. Okay, back to Luke 11:36. If the bo whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, then the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So when we're on, our whole bodies are just filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what it's kind of basically saying here. We're just shining bright for the Lord. Some other verses to go with this over in Proverbs. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more up unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not as what they stumble. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And this gives us a good definition of what we're looking at here. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So really search yourself and make sure that you get all that, purge all that evil and darkness out of ourselves. That's what I take from that. And back to Isaiah again, chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 42:16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Okay, back to Luke 11:37. Okay, we move now into that there were some Pharisees listening to this parable that Jesus was talking about the light. And we're going to talk now about these Pharisees. That's a little bit what this picture is showing here. That's where the hand washing comes in. As he spake, a certain Pharisee brought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Now, your first thought about this is, why didn't Jesus wash his hands before he sat down to eat? I mean, we're all taught to do that from the age that we can remember our parents talking. Make sure you wash your hands. And it's a good thing to wash your hands. But Jesus is trying to prove a point here, and he's having some issues with these Pharisees, and he wants to make a point, is what I believe. And in this particular case, it's not, he's not talking about washing in the sense of being clean of germs. But much deeper as to, he's talking here about traditions, and the washing that this Pharisee is talking about is a type of ritual washing that they did that was not in the law. It was something that they came up as a tradition of the temple. What started happening is that all the good laws of Moses that were written all the way through Leviticus and Deuteronomy were kind of making up their own interpretations of them. And when they got to Jesus' time, it had gotten so bad that most of the Pharisees had completely left what the Bible said. And they had built their whole reputation and their whole ministry on these traditions, or what they call the oral law. And it was basically different things that they thought up over the years, and they make it their own law. And so this is what Jesus is going to talk about here. So a couple of places to look at for this. We're going to look over in Matthew 15:2-6. And here, again, Jesus is going to be talking to some Pharisees. Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Now, remember, this is one of the Ten Commandments. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me. Now, let me try to explain this verse. At first, it's a little hard to understand. I had to do a pretty big study to understand it. But now it makes much more sense what Jesus is driving at here. The gift in this particular scenario is basically, you know, we're told we should give to the church. We also have a responsibility to our families, and it's important that that we make sure that we always take care of our families also. But what some of these people would do is that one of the commandments was in law was that as your parents got older and couldn't care for themselves, it was up to the children to take care of them. And what's happening here is that the Pharisees were actually allowing these people, because the Pharisees cared more about the temple and their own pocketbooks than they did about the weightier elements of the law. And what Jesus is pointing out here is that they would allow this to happen and not fulfill the other parts of the law. And that law was to make sure you honor your father and your mother. And by honoring, it also meant taking care of them in their old age when they can no longer take care of themselves. And what some people would do is they would donate money to the temple to where they didn't have enough to give to their family. They were going over and above what they had to in order to get out of having to help their family. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And I found that fascinating. So basically they were circumventing the law for their own needs. So continuing Matthew 15:6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So basically, this particular tradition had gone completely against God's law. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here. So it helps us to understand why Jesus is talking about this washing of the hands, because that was another tradition. There was nothing that necessarily said that you had to do that. And it had more to do with ritual washing. That was something a little different than just washing your hands to get rid of germs. And also over in Mark 7, verse 2 and 3, also it helps us with a little bit. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash for their hands, often eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Again, another tradition. Again, Jesus making a point that you're following the traditions, but not following the actual Bible. And boy, we can fall in that trap really easy. I know there's a lot of traditions out there, and to some of my friends who have been in other denominations know this very well, that if you really look at some of the denominations and what they do, you can't find them in the Bible. They're not there. And it makes you wonder where they came from, and that's where these traditions came from. Now, there's some traditions that probably don't have the ill effect. For instance, the fact that Jesus is born on December 25th. We just picked that day to celebrate his birth. We know that's not in the Bible, and that's true, but it doesn't hurt anything for us to celebrate Jesus' birthday. We just don't know what day it is. We just picked that day to celebrate it. But for other things that are not in the Bible, like I know of it's a certain denomination that believes that you can baptize the dead. I'm not sure how you would do that, but that they believe it. And so that's not in the Bible. And so there's a tradition of that particular denomination that says that, and that could be a dangerous thing, because then it believes that you can save, you're basically saving a loved one who passed on. And if, unfortunately, when someone is finally meets death, their ability to get salvation has ended according to the Bible. And so they're trying to circumvent the law by or what it says in the Bible. By a tradition. There actually is a brief verse where Paul is, on that particular one, that Paul is actually chastising a group of people for doing this ritual. And he's making it sound like if you do this, you know, because you do this, you're not understanding what God's program is. But they take it out of context, and they just take one verse out of context. That's another thing that a lot of these denominations will do. They'll take one text out of context and build a whole doctrine on it. That's why I bounce around the Bible so much, because I want to make sure that when we look at something, that it's absolute truth, and that we're looking at all aspects of that particular idea, and we're not missing something or causing it to be. So the only time I speculate is when I get something that comes to mind, but please understand that I base it on what I see in the Bible, and sometimes I just extend it a little bit to a speculation, but I would definitely not build doctrine on it. And one more over in John 3:25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. That's just another reference talking about this purification that this particular tradition is talking about here. I think we've all been there, and I think at this particular point, Jesus was sensing these Pharisees were looking for things to try to catch him on, and so he wanted to make a lesson out of this particular incident of washing, traditional washing. So back to Luke 11:39. And the Lord said unto them, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Okay, here comes the lesson. So in other words, the Pharisees here were all concerned about what they looked like on the outside. They were washed, they were clean. And so that's what Jesus is going to point out here. But the inward part of the man could be evil and have ill intent. That's another thing that Jesus is trying to state that these people are doing. And over in Luke 16, 15, I'll support this. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. And that's what that, in other words, what men can see. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So important that if you're going to clean, make sure you're cleaning the inside of your vessel also. And that has to do with the cleansing of our thoughts and our ideas and the things that we, the things that people don't see. I remember something that was always told, that was told to me once, and I try to do it as best I can, is that do something for the good of mankind and don't expect any praise for it, because your praise will actually come from the Father. But do it and not expect, and do it quietly and hidden, so that you're not looking for praise from others. And that's part of the reason that, like for instance, when we tithe, or when I know most pastors don't even want to know what people give to the donation plate, because it may influence their thoughts. And so that on the same token, that we should give and not like make a big deal about it to others. It should be in secret and private. And your glory will come from the Father in heaven. Also in Acts 8, 21 through 23. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps thou thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and in bond of iniquity. That was probably Paul saying that. No, it was Peter. Okay, back to Luke 11:30, 40. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is within without which is without make that which is within also? So in other words, you're so worried about appearances. You're so worried about what people see on the outside. What about inside? Because God made both the outside and the inside. Verse 41. But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. So let's get to know a little bit about giving. And we got a couple of verses in Psalms that'll help us understand this one. Psalms 41:1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Psalm 112, verse 9. He that despiseth, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. So it was give without expecting any praise, and particularly remember the poor, remember those that are in need. Don't do it to kind of like float your own boat. Coming up on a verse I really like that kind of really puts an exclamation point on this. But let's do Luke 11:42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. These are you have done, and not to leave the other undone. So in other words, the Pharisees are all concerned about certain laws having to do with tithing and stuff, but they're overlooking some of the other ones. And this is better explained over in Matthew 23. A few verses here, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. This is a very strong verse. Basically, Jesus here is saying that these scribes and Pharisees are not going to see heaven. And you're making it so that others are not going to be able to go either by the rules. They're not going to be able to see the true way to righteousness. That's a pretty strong verse. Then we're going to jump down to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. I've seen that Matthew adds a few more items there. The judgment, mercy, and faith are important also, not just tithes and outward appearances. And jumping down to verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanliness. These are all verses Jesus was accusing the religious hierarchy of that time frame. They were so concerned about these traditions that they were not looking at the true meaning of what God was trying to say through the whole, at this point in time, the whole Old Testament. And so talking a little bit more about that particular verse in Luke 18, 11 through 13. A Pharisee stood and prayed. This is the one I was talking about. I think it really puts an exclamation point on what we're talking about here. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, executioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. There was another man praying there, a publican. You know, that's what Matthew was, a tax collector. Verse 12. And here comes the pride part. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he's boasting about it. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see the contrast here. Here the publican knew exactly that he was not worthy to go to heaven. And that's what Jesus meant by when he who is last shall be first, and he who is first shall be last. And so that this Pharisee was being proud that he was doing all these beautiful laws and following them to the letter. But this publican knew who he was. He was a sinner and needed God to be merciful on him as a sinner. And that's what I think this whole section is talking about, is that worry about what's inside your heart, not what's on the outside. Okay, back to Luke 11:43. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uttermost sites in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not even aware of them. So that's where this picture comes in here. It was actually a law that you weren't supposed to walk over a grave or you were unclean. And they really made a big deal about it. But Jesus is basically saying here that no one's going to care if you're dead, because people are just going to walk over your grave and not really care that you're even under there. And that's what basically he's saying in that one. And of course, the washing of the hands, that was basically what the whole thing was about. And again, I'm pretty sure Jesus was not saying not to be clean and not to take baths or anything. Okay, kids, you can't, when mom says you got to go wash your hands, you still got to wash your hands. But it was a much deeper message than that. And some of these other things in here, I think, having to do with verses coming up. So we'll see as we go. And this might be a depiction of Jesus talking to this Pharisee and talking to him about what he was saying here, trying to help him to understand exactly what it meant by the washing of the hands and what the real meaning of this verse was. So just a couple of more verses on this last one, talking about pride. I just realized I forgot to add them in, so I got to add them in real quick. One's over in Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, letting each esteem other better than themselves. And also in James, get a little bit from the brother of Jesus, half brother. James 2:2-4. For if they come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and good apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, that was a really nice clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in the good place, and say to the poor, standest thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts? That's a great verse to end on, is that we should treat one another with the same kind of glory, whether or not he's a really rich person and maybe can really help your ministry, or somebody who just is poor and just doesn't have any money, but he's still a child of God. And so I think that's exactly a great way to think about everybody. Don't worry about what somebody can do for you, but what you can do for them. And we'll end on that note. So let's say a prayer. And Lord, pretty heavy weight here on this particular verse is that we do try, Lord, to follow this teaching, and that we can be true to ourselves and really inspect our inner self and make sure that we're being good stewards of the things you give us. And that we can remember those who need, and remember those that maybe just need somebody to talk to, or just need a helping hand on that day when they're not feeling so well. Remember that neighbor that maybe you haven't talked to in a while. And all those things that are important in life. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. And on that note, before I start tearing up, that one got to me a little bit. Thinking about trying to make sure that I'm listening to this verse. I think I was teaching myself something there too. So that try to do better at thinking of others before I think of myself. So on that note, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day. Love y'all. And see you tomorrow.